Cave, agus Falchuk and Jean Clark coming, Luke Claskey and the Shocks on the show to meet Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And, well, we've got a bumper line up tonight and a very busy programme, of course, height of the championship action. And, we've got quite a lot of people. I'm delighted to see him joined in studio here by John Harn, former Donegal player, and of course, St. Junan's stalwart, and still tugging out for, the Black and Ambers and, looking forward to another championship campaign. Good night to you, John.
Good night, Tom.
And obviously coming up as well in a couple of moments' time, we'll be speaking to Greg Harkin, who is the manager of the Donegal under 14 girls team, who are playing Tipperary on Saturday in the All-Ireland under 14B final. That game is down in Ballymahan. We'll be joined by Greg shortly. And later in the programme, we'll also hear from the Donegal man and former Donegal player, National Football League winner, we went out with Donegal in 2007, who is now playing his football with Kilkenny, and was on the Kilkenny team that wrote the rubber names into the history books last weekend by winning the British Championship at junior level for the first time ever. And he's now preparing along with his teammates for an All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Mayo. That's coming up later in the programme. As usual, you can text us, of course, on 086 77 00 555 if you want to contact us, or if you want to pose any questions for John, or have any comments, or indeed I want any issues that you want us to raise from time to time on the programme. We'd be only too delighted to hear from you. And of course, as well, you can hear, as quite a lot of people do tune in right around the world on the World Wide Web every night, every Wednesday night. And a good special good night to all those expats who are, shall we say, away from home and listening to us tonight. And of course, a new feature of the programme is you can also get it on our website, www.highlandradio.com, as in from tomorrow. If you missed some part of the programme, or you happen to want to get back and listen to some part of it again, we certainly love to hear from you. And you can also hear the programme on, listen to it on our Highland Radio app as well. That's free from the iStore, so you get it on the Highland Radio app. It goes up on the website and also on the app from tomorrow morning. But as I said, a very busy programme lined up for you tonight, and indeed we were reflecting with John Harn, of course, on that victory of Donegal's over Derry last Saturday in the Ulster Senior Football Championship semi-final to set up a third final meeting with Monaghan in 3 years, and of course a fifth final in a row for Donegal. But first of all, just to John, what did you make of Saturday's game and Saturday's victory?
Well, Tom, you know, it's great to be back in the final, and you know, we should never underestimate that there. We went through a barren spell for a while, so now that we're back in it 5 years in a row, it's great, and you know, we should appreciate that and thank the boys for that and all, you know, the great days they've given us this last while. Not the best performance, Tom, but listen, it's great when we can sit here and be in an Ulster final and say Donegal didn't play that well, and people are, you know, not giving out but saying, you know, they weren't great. But listen, we still bet Derry without playing well, you know, without being under too much pressure, and you know, you always felt that if the pressure really came on and Derry were to bring it back level, maybe in the last 10 minutes, that, you know, we would step it up again and just, you know, have enough to get over the line. So from that point of view, I think, you know, listen, Tom, all the clichés are there, Donegal have plenty to work on going into the final, and Rory will be happy enough. And
I'm sure, in a way, it's grist to the mill of Rory Gallagher, all this talk about maybe Donegal not playing well, and certainly make his job easier in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you would think so, Tom. You know, the whole thing got carried away after the Mayo game. You know, there wasn't a lot of talk after the Tyrone game because it was a tough foul battle.
There was talk of another kind, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and exactly, yeah, and all that there. But, you know, the media wasn't getting carried away about Donegal being, you know, All-Ireland contenders, although they're one of the big four. But, you know, after the Mayo game, everyone got carried away because, but listen, looking back in Armagh now, you know, they were very poor, and even Wicklow showed that up at the weekend. If they had a free ticket, they could have put them out. So, you know, we got carried away with that. But no, they've come down to earth now with a bang, and, you know, they've 3 weeks to work on. And this is a very experienced team, Tom, and they know what's required. So, you know, they'll have plenty now to get ready, and they need no motivation to beat Monaghan.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll just leave John for a moment and now you see him joined by Greg Harkin, manager of the Donegal under 14 ladies, of course, who are preparing for that All-Ireland final against Tipperary on Saturday in Ballymahan in Longford. Good night to you, Greg.
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
And I know you're a busy man just back in from training and putting the final preparations to bed today. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting to the final. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about this team of yours.
Good bunch of team, good team, Tom, from all over the county. We started out last October doing trials and watching the under-13 tournaments, and finished up sort of just before Christmas with a squad of about 41, 42. We took that crowd on then into January with some indoor gym stuff, and eventually we got two panels out of it with a development team and a championship team. And we've just gone on from there, and they've just got better and better and better as the year's gone on.
Yeah, and tell me about the campaign so far. Who have you played? Who have you beaten?
Well, we started out with, we did a lot of challenge matches in February and March. With good wins over Derry and Sligo and Leitrim. We had a tough game against Mayo, which gave us an idea of what the Connacht teams were like. So we came out the wrong side of the result of that there, but we learned a lot. And then in the championship, we were in the nine counties are split into a five, group of five, group of four. We ended up in the group of four, and then Fermanagh pulled out. So that just left ourselves, Cavan and Tyrone, which was unfortunate because we wanted to play as many games as we could. And our first game was away to Cavan. And, you know, we had our team together for 3 months, and Cavan have had their team together for over 3 years. So it was a tough match. But there wasn't that much in it in the end. You know, if we were playing them tomorrow, we think it would be a different story. But as our first game, it was tough enough. So that left us basically having to take on Tyrone for a spot in the final. So it was a semi-final, really, an Ulster B semi-final. And we took them on in Carndona and had a very good one that day. And that was when the gears started to really, really, really gel from that day on. Mm-hmm. And then we'd Antrim then in the final 3 weeks after that. Again, we travelled up to his neutral venue in Tyrone, and a very physical and a very tall and strong Antrim team, and they were about 3-4 points ahead at half time, and we really hadn't started, really, to be honest with you. But the second half we were outstanding. Everyone we'd worked on came out, and it was a really good day, you know, winning an Ulster title with this particular bunch of girls, because they put the work in, and as we had, and worked on the day, and that got us a semi-final spot against Roscommon. Roscommon and Connacht, the A final loser, goes into the B semi-final. So that was, we knew again it was going to be another tough game, and it was a very tough game. But again, as I said, the girls get better and better all the time, and we managed to get past Roscommon by 4 points on the day.
Yeah, and I know quite a big spread of clubs involved in this team as well.
There's players from 17 clubs, Tom. You have a sort of nucleus there of Mavill, where there's been great work there. Liam Skelly up there over the last few years, and Sean Connaughton at Neat Connell. So we've got five from Mavill and four from Neat Connell. We've got five from my own club, St Unans, and we've got four from Termon. So they would form the nucleus. We've got five from Milford as well, so they're kind of the teams that are doing it at under 13 and under 14 level over the last couple of years. Glenties were the 14 champions last year, Unans were the 13 champions, Mavill were thereabouts, Termon finalists in some of those games as well. So that's for the clubs where all the hard work's been done. It's been done right across the clubs, to be fair. And then we've got players then from 13 other clubs as well, and again, you know, exceptional standard. The standards just get better and better, Tom. We had 230 kids at tries last year, so that gives you an idea of the growth of the game at that level and the hard work that's been done at all the clubs right through all the divisions.
And I know you have quite a big backroom team as well. You mentioned a couple of the people there, but they've put in a lot of work, no more than yourself.
Absolutely. No, listen, we've been going at it. You know, it's been non-stop, and rain, hail and sunshine as it was today, which was great. So it was Sean there from Glenties and Liam from Mavill, and then I have Gabriel Gallagher and Anya Riley from St Mary's Convoy. They've been mentors with the under-14s for a couple of years, and that's kind of given me, you know, a good backroom team. And there's an excellent coach at Red Hughes, Maura McCrudden, brought her in as well. And then back up we have physio and paramedic and all that all the stuff that we try to do it with a bit of fun on the way as well, Tom, because some of these guys have only just turned 13, so the whole philosophy has been, you know, we work hard, but we have good fun as well doing it. And if the girls are going home happy, you know, we know that they're going to play for us, you know, and that's worked. And it's worked so far, anyway.
As we said, Tipperary, your opponents, the big question is, what do you know of them?
We've been making some calls, Tom. We've been
calling in some favours.
Well, we have, you know, we've made a couple of calls, and, you know, we've a fair idea about them. Tipperary would be, you know, they're thereabouts at a championship level, so they're just unfortunate that they come up against the Cork and Kerrys down there. So that's happened over the last few years. But they're a good team. They've got a couple of exceptional players, but I suppose my attitude is we'll go and play our own game. We will do a couple of things. We will change a couple of things to suit, but generally speaking, we'll play our own game, and we've got a plan in place for it. And the beauty of it is, you know, with our gears, if we need to change it, they know what we need to do.
And I know you've left no stone unturned, and you had one of your last sessions today and some high-profile coaches in with you.
Yeah, it was great. Michael Murphy, to be fair to him, came in and chatted to the gears, and that gave them a wee bit of boost. And as Michael said to them, you know, it's as every bit as important as it is for him pulling the Donegal jersey, you know, and to be proud about it. And Karen Guffey came in from the senior ladies as well and spoke to the gears. And the gears listen and they take on board, you know, when people of that calibre come in and talk to them. And Rory Gallagher has sent his best wishes. And it's been great. It's been a lot of fun as well. I know there's buses going from, I think, 18 clubs at this stage. There's busloads of kids going, and a lot of them under-12s and under-10s, because that's what it's about. It's also about, you know, one of my jobs is not just to, you know, take the team further. It's also trying to get these girls to play football, you know, down the line for Donegal at 16s, minors and seniors. And a lot of them will. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're, as I say, exceptionally talented. The standard gets better and better. It really does.
Look, Greg, unfortunately the clock is catching with us, and well, best of luck on Saturday, and as I say, hope you bring home the trophy.
Thanks very much, Tom. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Greg Harkin, the manager of the Donegal Under 14 ladies, chasing an All Ireland title on Saturday down in Ballymahon in Longford. They're playing Tipperary in that particular game. And I know, John, your own club won, the ladies won, did very well in the Faila last weekend, and your boys as well, the 14 boys.
Yes.
We have to congratulate them.
Tom was superb. They really wanted to capture the Division 2, and people thinking, you know, maybe, you know, they could have competed with the A, you know, the Division 1 teams. I think Austin Stacks won it, but fair play then, they wiped the board.
It's probably a first ever for Donegal, is it?
Well, for
Kelly
I know,
Beggs maybe
way back. I know, you know, the Kelly Beggs boys would have won the St Paul's tournament in Belfast way back in the day, but no, a brilliant achievement, and the Gerrard's under Una Walsh. He said, make sure you give him a mention. So good Billy Shanahan, you know, he's putting his
nailing the colours of the St Junan's collab. That's a first, I'm sure.
A first. Good man.
Anyway, Tato Geista Clash and Clark come and look to scale a shock than the show with me, Tom Comack. My special guest in studio tonight is John Harn. We're reflecting back on looking back on Donegal's victory over Derry last weekend in the Ulster Senior Football Championship. And still to come on the programme, we'll be joined by the Donegal man who is now playing his football with Kilkenny, and was a member of that Kilkenny team that won the British Junior Championship last weekend in Scotland. We'll be joined by him in a couple of moments. But John, back again to the football on the weekend. Talk about the seniors. We'll come to those again in a moment. Disappointment for our minors. There was great hopes, and they got caught on Saturday.
Well, that was it, Tom. They got caught, you know, when they had two great victories.
No, maybe that's a bit unfair on Derry.
Well, a bit unfair on Derry because, you know, chatting to the boys before the game, like Derry was the team that had put it up the most in the league, and then in the league final, you know, Donegal won both. But you may be feeling that Derry, you know, knew about this Donegal team. Maybe they were holding a wee bit back and says, no, we'll have a crack at Donegal when it comes, knock out. Our boys have been talked up, Tom. I know they're only young, but when young fellas hear that, they're favourites for the All-Ireland, favourites for Ulster, best team we ever had. You know, it's bound to creep in. Young fellas read papers, their Twitter, they're hearing this, they're hearing that. You know,
and like it, they had gone on a great run. They had gone undefeated in the league.
Undefeated in the league, this is it. And, you know, the problem with getting beaten in the semi-final is they don't get a second chance. If they had got to the Ulster final and maybe had a bad day, they were still in, you know, in the back door. So, you know, very disappointing for them. You know, Declan put a massive effort in, you know, after last year getting to the final, and this year this team was supposed to be better than last year, so there were high hopes. Tom, that's young fellas on the day if you don't turn up in this championship.
And of course, the huge disappointment about Sahar's defeat was if they had got through and even lost the final, they were going to have another crack at it.
That's my point, you know. If they had got to the final, they still, you know, and got beat there, they were still in the back door for the All-Ireland quarter-finals, and, you know, they could still have, you know, if they had a bad day in the Ulster final, at least they could regroup and come back and try and win an All-Ireland. But, you know, it's on the day, and Tom, you know, your hat's off to Derry, they had their homework done and they performed, and that's football, and that's...
And we have to mention the man of the match, Conor Glass, a super performance.
Super performance, Tom. Like, I've seen him a couple of times. I've seen him up in the St Paul's tournament. That's the Derry midfielder. That must be 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
He's 3 years county minor.
3 years county minor. Fabulous player. And, you know, he's been talked up. And in fairness to him, last year at Celtic Park, he wasn't great.
Hmm.
But I know he's probably only 17, but I had high hopes from him. But, you know, he wasn't great. But his performance last day was outstanding. But the problem for Derry is now the talk is that he's going to Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it could be another Marty Clark, maybe the best player in, you know,
well, certainly looking at maybe Derry, they need somebody
well,
like
that's it. You know, you can't lose your top players, and it's unfortunate for Derry if he goes to Australia.
Yeah, anyway, you're listening to the GAA programme here on Highland with me, Tom Cormack. My special guest in studio tonight is John Harn, of course, St. Jonan's player and forward Donegal player. John, before we go back and look a little bit more at Donegal's performance, and indeed that of Derry as well, the old, thorny issue has cropped up again this week. We saw it at the weekend, club versus county, a number of clubs not fielding, a special county committee meeting called tomorrow night to try and sort it out. I know you've been outspoken about this before, but
I have, Tom. I've always been outspoken when it concerns St. Jonan's, maybe, but no, you know, and club players in general, you know, sometimes we get a very raw deal.
Just to give people maybe that aren't in the know the context, there was all county football league games fixed for last weekend.
For Sunday.
Yes,
the day after the match. And the county players were supposed, well, not, so it wasn't a star game, which meant the county players were available to their clubs.
Supposed to be available.
Whether the county team hold a recovery session on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of meant that they couldn't really be there, although, you know, technically they should have been there. So St. Michael's didn't field, Gidore didn't travel.
And Glenfinn,
you know, so it's tough on them, Tom. Absolutely, it's tough on them, especially.
Is it asking too much for players after so soon after a game? I know there's the 13-day rule and all this type of thing.
Yeah, listen, Tom, it probably is. It's very hard to know, Tom. You know, sometimes clubs should go on and play the games, and, you know, it's easy for me to say maybe St. Jonan's.
Yeah, because people are going to say St. Jonan's have a big panel. But if you're St. Michael's with, what, five now in the county squad,
yeah.
You know, Martin McElhinney, you have Christy Toy, Colin McFadden, Daniel McLaughlin, and Mark Anthony McGinley.
Yeah.
You have Guidore with, what, three, the two McGees, Eamon and Neil.
And the Miners.
And Oran McNeilis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah. No, it's probably not fair, Tom. No, you know, it's not fair. And, you know, something has to be done about it because, you know, club players have to be looked after as well, and then clubs want their county men there, and the county men have to give their full commitment to the county. So it's very difficult. And Tom, we could chat about this all night.
Yeah, it's hard. It comes up every year.
It comes up every year, and something's going to have to. But it has to come from Croke Park, Tom.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? The calendar has to be changed. Something has to be done. The inter-county season has to be shortened to give clubs maybe the whole of September, the whole of October, you know, maybe half of August to get their championships played, because the way it goes on, it's just too many, three and four weeks between games for county teams is far too much, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think that the provincial championship needs to be condensed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, last week, maybe two weeks ago, Monaghan and Fermanagh playing a Saturday night and Donegal and Derry playing a Sunday.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The next day, instead of this week for break, a game every week and then it drags the whole thing out, and then Donegal have 3 weeks now, Monaghan 4 weeks to the final.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
2 weeks.
Of course, the argument that the GAA people will give you for that, and it's quite a good one as well, it keeps the GAA in the spotlight and it keeps the GAA, you know, getting plenty of media coverage. And
I think good club action at the right time gives plenty of media coverage. You can see it in Donegal when it's run off and Siemens are on it. You know, there's plenty of coverage. That's a red herring.
Yeah. Anyway, just back to Saturday's game. What impressed you most about Donegal? And we'll talk about maybe what concerns you, but what impressed you most about it? The result.
Well, the result, yeah, Tom. You know, there wasn't enough. You know, I think in fairness, the boys would say that. You know, they weren't overly impressed. You know, I heard Brendan Devaney on one of the radio stations said he got a quick word with Neil coming off the pitch, big Neil Gallagher, and Neil was shaking his head, and the Derry boys were shaking their heads, so it was kind of a strange atmosphere. Neil wasn't happy with Donegal's performance, you know, and, you know, he said the Donegal players kind of had their heads down, so, you know, I don't think Donegal were overly happy, so there mightn't be an awful lot to be impressed about, bar the result.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. Neil is one man that shouldn't be.
Well, exactly. Neil did a great game, and Michael did what he does when the chips are down, and when Donegal need inspiration, he kicked two mighty scores. You know, the first one was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you make of Derry?
I thought Derry were good, Tom, but I was expecting that from the North. I thought they would make it hard. Otherwise, a wee bit disappointed Owen Bradley didn't perform. You know, people are saying now that Brian McGivern made bad subs at the vital time, and I would possibly agree with that, but listen, you make substitutions, some days they go for you and you're a genius, and the next day you don't, and everyone says, you know, what was he doing? So, I thought Derry were decent, but the problem for Derry is now, Tom, they're out and their record in the back door is atrocious. They were beaten last year at home by Longford, so I know Wexford go there now, so, you know, Derry's season could be over, but I wouldn't write them off just yet.
Yeah, well, they would have drawn some solace out of the fact that they did give Donegal a big challenge,
and you know, you give them credit for that because they did more than Armagh did.
Anyway, we just leave John Hearn for a moment, and Kilkenny made history last weekend. They won the British Junior Championship, first ever for the county, and of course Kilkenny seniors are their junior team. They don't participate in the Alliance Football Leagues at all. They used to a number of years ago, but they won the British Championship last weekend, defeating Scottish combination selection in Edinburgh, and they're now preparing for an All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Mayo at the end of the month. And Patrick McConaghy, of course, who featured with Donegal for a number of years and was a member of the team, he probably played in your time, John, but he was a member of the team in 2007, the squad that won the Alliance Football League Division 1, the one and only title under the force, said Brian McIver. And I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Patrick because he was a member of that Kilkenny side at centre-half back last Saturday evening. Patrick, first of all, delighted to have you on the programme tonight, and congratulations on your British Junior Championship success at the weekend. Playing with Kilkenny, I suppose, first before we reflect on that game and that championship, how did Patrick McGonigley from Fannad and formerly of Donegal end up playing with Kilkenny in the British Championship?
Oh, well, I suppose it's a long story. I suppose the shortcut to it is my wife from Kilkenny, and we were making the move down that way. We have two children, the second child was born, so we said we may make a move now and give it a go to see how it works out. So we moved out in November, and just joined a local club here then, the Rail Yard, and I've been playing with them, and then I got the call to go to the Kilkenny Fuplers, and so that's how I ended up there. It was just simple as that.
Yeah, and obviously you have brought the Donegal look and the bloody ball, Donegal Midas touch, because you made history at the weekend winning the British Junior Championship, as we said, defeating Scotland in the final.
Yeah, like as most people know, Kilkenny wouldn't be a hotbed for football. So, it was a great achievement for these bunch of lads that are out training all the time. And, you know, you'd know by especially the group of lads involved that they were delighted to get the one. And, you know, they've been putting on the effort this last, maybe a lot of them have been there maybe 8, 9, 10 years. So, to beat Scotland the weekend, the Junior Championship was a big achievement for this group of lads and the football community in Kilkenny. So great, and a good lift for everybody involved.
Yeah, and the final was in Edinburgh, wasn't it?
Yeah, the final was in Edinburgh and on Saturday evening, and we played Scotland. A strong Scotland outfit that had won it last year, and I think we're heavily fancied to win it again this year. There were a lot of Northern lads actually playing with them. And we're fairly good footballers, so it was a good achievement for our boys to get the one, you know.
So you won it pretty convincingly, didn't you?
I wouldn't say we won by 5 points in the end up, but like we were 2 points ahead at half time, and then Scotland came back and drew level. They were back within 15 minutes second half, so it was nip and tuck for a while, and then we got a second goal, and they kind of seemed to put the heads down in the last 10 minutes. So we added a couple of points in just to seal the deal, you know, so it was good to get the one.
And you were at centre-half back, your old stamping ground?
Yeah, then centre-half back, you know, for the club here as well, and then just centre-back for the county. So it was an area, I suppose, I'm playing a good while now, and I'm kind of comfortable in it, and lucky enough, still being able to play there, so it's an enjoyable position, you know, you get the full run of the field, and while you don't have the legs to get up and down, you can still kind of play passes on side and long balls, was good that way.
Yeah, and tell me, in terms of how many games did you play in the championship in Britain?
We played four in all. Like it's kind of a round robin idea, and then you play that, and then we won our two games, we got into the semi final, and then we won that, and then get into the final. So that's the way it works, you know.
And who did you beat in the other two games?
We played Gloucestershire, Lancashire, and Scotland had beaten London, and that's how we ended up and played Scotland in the final.
And has the result and your success, how has it been greeted in Kilkenny?
Oh, like it's very good. Like the football committee, like all the committee was over, and like even Ned Quinn, the hurling chairman, was over as well. Like, and like they were obviously chuffed. And as I say, like it's not, wouldn't be the number one sport here, but for the people that's putting in the effort, they were delighted. The people that in the background that's putting on all the work, so you'd be delighted to see them getting some results for all the effort that they're putting in, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure it's a big change from playing in Donegal, and maybe probably different standards as well. We'll go into that maybe at some other stage. We'll get a chat with you. But you're now looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final, because the prize for winning on Saturday was an All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo at the end of the month.
Yeah, that's correct. That's on the 25th of July, and lucky enough, we got a home tie as well. So it's in Nolan Park on the 25th of July, Saturday evening game. You play the Mayo Juniors, so that'll be good, because I'm sure Mayo will be very strong at that level. So it'll be good to test to see where we're really at. I think we're after losing one of our full back. He's going to America as well, so it'll be important that we have as strong a team as possible.
Yeah, and you're looking forward to a county final this Saturday?
Yeah, we have the club, the Rail Yard, we're playing our local rivals, Muckalee, now in the county final. So, Muckalee were actually going for 5 in a row last year, and the Rail Yard team I joined won it last year for the first time since 99, and now, so they're going for 2 in a row, so I'm sure Muckalee will be doing everything they can to stop us, you know. So.
And is the rivalry as keen among the clubs down there as it is up here?
I suppose, like, I've only played a few league games against these lads, so it's kind of fairly fierce, all right, a lot of off the ball stuff, and the refereeing wouldn't be as up to scratch, you know, so you get away with a bit more. But no, there wouldn't be a lot of rivals, the local rivals here, and there would be a lot of, I suppose, I think there are families involved on both sides as well, and they mightn't be speaking for a few weeks, so it does be very tempting, all right.
Anyway, Patrick, delighted you could join us tonight, and congratulations, and get once again, and the best of luck. I know we have a lot of Mayo listeners here in Donegal listening, but the best of luck against Mayo in the semi-final.
Well, thanks so much, Tom.
That's Patrick McConaghy there, of course, a member of that Kilkenny team which defeated Scotland last weekend to win the British Junior Championship. And, of course, as Patrick was saying, now looking forward to play Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final. Cork and Kerry are meeting in the Munster final, and the winners of that game will play Wexford in the other side of the draw. So we wish Patrick the best of luck in that junior final. So that's, we're coming to the close of the programme tonight. Again, my guest is John Hearn. John, with just about a couple of minutes left, or less than a minute left, roughly, what's Donegal chances now against Monaghan in what, 3 weeks' time?
Well, Tom, looking forward to it, because there's a big rivalry over the last few years, and it's going to be hell for leather again, and helter skelter. Donegal have a good chance. I'd put them favourites, but not, you know, short odds, because this is a good Monaghan team. And the way Malachy O'Rourke's doing at the minute, he's leaving Clerkin and Finlay and these boys on the bench, and he's bringing them on later on, Galagally, and, you know, they're making a big impact. And I think that's maybe the one area where Donegal are struggling, is with the quality coming off the bench.
Because you were mentioning earlier the amount of players that are actually...
Yeah, well, you know, Leo's not there, Rory Cavanagh's not there, Bricks was a good man to come on and get a few scores, you know, Ryan Bradley going back a few years, Jigger's injured, but he's coming back, and, you know, Anthony Thompson being in London, it's not ideal preparation. So Donegal from last year, just, you know, no harm, no fault to Rory, or it's just the way the thing has fallen for him, and them three or four players can make a big difference to him, and, you know, it's weakening his hand, but, you know, I think they're in good enough shape, and I think they can beat Monaghan. Whether we can win in All-Ireland, I'm not so sure, but we'll one game at a time.
Anyway, thanks. Unfortunately, John, the clock has beaten us again. My thanks to John Hearn for joining me as well. Thanks to Patrick McConaghy down in Kilkenny, and to Greg Harkin. We wish Greg Harkin the best of luck in the All-Ireland final on Sunday, and or Saturday afternoon down Longford. We also wish Donegal ladies all the best against Tyrone as well. That's it from me from this week's Slánagas Bannacht.